Well, I think it was, I'm not quite certain about the cause, but there was a commission which was on this, which were regarding their demands, and...
I don't know much about that. Mm-hmm. Can't tell you much.
Why do you think, getting on to another subject then, why do you think Ramanathan began to work against the Ceylon National Congress?
I don't remember the facts here.
Mm-hmm. You have written here, I believe they ignored him and the Tamils.
I think so, but I'm not sure of that. Mm-hmm.
You say that...
You mark you, Ramanathan was the only man who stood up for them. They were mostly afraid of it, to do up.
That was in the 1950s.
During the riots.
Yes. No, but that's why it seems inexplicable that he should change his views in the later period.
I think he was found that they were ignoring him, but he found they were ignoring him.
Now, you say that the sort of nationalistic outlook of the Daily News was very natural. But you also say it's racial. What do you mean?
Yes, they were more pro-Sinhalese than Tamil.
Tamil, I see. You mean, you could see a distinct anti-Tamil thread?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Mm. You say that everyone distrusted Gunasinghe.
I think that was a general opinion.
Even the other political leaders.
Yes.
You're not certain whether caste had anything to do with it.
No.
Or perhaps it was just jealous of his influence in certain circles.
He was rather a bully.
Yeah, I see. You say that there was a rumor that he was blackmailing some employers in the late 20s.
Yeah.
That is promising peace and quiet if they gave him some support.
I suppose so. I don't know the details.
This is a rumor.
Yes. And the rumor I heard specifically concerns certain firms.
Mm-hmm. At this stage, I'll say if I go back early, in the 1900s, around 1910, were Indian events kept in mind by officials? Were they ever?
I kept them in mind. I don't know whether I suspect others did. Not sure about that. But
you didn't. Do you recollect ever discussing it or at the club or over dinner?
Yes, people probably discussed the things. Yes.
And the implications they had for the future in India and in Ceylon. I mean, did that come to your mind?
Yes, I think so. It came to my mind.
Mm-hmm. And you say in the 1920s, the civil servants resented the attacks on them in council.
Yes.
Were there many such attacks?
Oh, yes, any number of attacks.
Very personal?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. The Donomo Commission felt that they were demoralized as a result.
No, I wouldn't say they were demoralized.
Yeah, of course, that's a rather strong term.
Yes.
Was it Smite, you said, who preferred judicial service after that?
No, that's me.
Oh.
Well, they removed me from Colombo, from the commissioner's job, for their own reasons.
Mm.
It was largely a cabal, I think. Then the Ceylonese... is this going down?
Yes, but it needn't be copied.
Huh?
Yes, but I think it has been deduced anyway.
Mm.
I've seen it somewhere saying that the civil servants felt that government should have protected them more.
Oh, yes.
So government was sort of was leading a placatory policy after deliberation, I presume.
Yes, yes, it was a policy of retreat.
Mm-hmm. regarding these attacks by the politicians, would you say that the arrogance shown by some of the British community, I'm not speaking only of the officials, but of the community, needled them to attack Britishers?
Yes, very probably, yes.
And you think the 1924 constitution was a bad constitution?
Not in itself, but as applied to Ceylon.
Mm-hmm. Why? Specifically?
Certainly, power was distributed among the committees.
No, this is not the Donoghue constitution.
Oh,
pre-Donoghue.
Oh, pre-Donoghue. I wouldn't say that it was a bad constitution. I thought you meant Donoghue's constitution.
No, the 1924.
Oh, no, that I don't say it's a bad constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
But in that there was, looking at it theoretically, there was lots of friction between the legislative councillors. They had no real executive power.
Yes.
And so they were, but they had lots of financial power and they had no responsibility.
Yes, but all the same,
it was a
training ground. It acquainted them with the problems.
Yes, so did the Donoghue Commission.
Yes, so did the Donoghue Commission. But then the Donoghue Commission went further and gave the power to these committees, small sections of the Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
That meant that Reichstag and Bob Tew sometimes got power.
Yes.
And they used that power to feather their own nest.
Mm-hmm.
Which also you expect of people of the Reichstag and Bob Tew. You follow what I mean?
I see. Yes. But getting back to the 1924 constitution, they had lots of power with hardly any responsibility. They had financial power.
Yes, they had financial power, but that financial power they couldn't use beyond a certain thing, because then the governor could override them if he wanted to.
Well, he
was frightened generally, but he could do it.
And so what was the general attitude among civil servants to the Donoghue Commission as soon as it
was? I think at first we rather welcomed it. We thought it might work.
What did you think of the universal franchise?
I was rather in favour of it, provided there was a Senate appointed by people of wealth and intelligence with an unlimited veto.
Yes.
That was omitted by
Yes, but the very idea of universal franchise was to prevent an oligarchic control.
It might be that is your idea about it, but our idea was that universal franchise in Ceylon would be ruinous unless it was controlled with heavy brakes. There must be brakes on the hoi polloi.
Yes, brakes on the hoi polloi.
The brake would be thought of was the Senate with the power of veto.
But that's the very oligarchy which the government had been resisting earlier.
Maybe that's the oligarchy we were resisting, but that was a necessary oligarchy. And now my own idea, if you want to know, is that you should have 50-50, what Panambala wanted. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
50 members chosen by universal franchise and 50 members chosen by people with qualification to sit as jurors. Money. Plus people with professions and university degrees and things like that.
Anything else? Any other comments about the Donoghue Commission? What were the other shortcomings?
That was the one that some of the committees turned out to be venal.
But also, wouldn't you say that these committees worked in compartments and there was no coordination?
Well, they had the separate subjects. When they met in the General Finance Committee, there had to be some coordination.
And do you know anything about the cooperation between the three officers of state and the ministers?
I think they got on pretty well, as far as I remember.
Mm-hmm. What sort of man was Sir Francis Tyrrell?
He was a very charming person individually, but without much brains.
Oh, I see, yeah. Wedderburn?
Good fellow.
He was capable.
I don't know much about Wedderburn's capacity, but he was a nice man.
Because the theory is that those two didn't get, at least as far as I can see, they didn't get on as well as Robert Drake later on.
And yes, sir, I don't know. I don't know anything about Drayton.
And was there friction between the heads of departments and the committees, the permanent heads?
I think there was, but I don't know about it. Mm-hmm.
And
I remember spending an hour or two arguing, entreating them to pass a vote for some small sum, like 50 or 60 pounds, to build a shed for bottling at Nigambo. And that was resisted by some member for Tangal, I think. And as far as I could discover, his main motive was that I had refused to give his nephew a job in his department, my department, the week before. Follow what I mean?
Yes.
You can't expect men to work, public servants to work in the rain, bottling.
Have you any comments to make on the elections and electioneering under the Donomo Constitution?
I remember there was a good deal of false impersonation. That's the only thing I can think of.
You think at this stage the people were easily misled by politicians?
Oh, yeah. They were like sheep. Mm.
Do you consider it still so in the 1950s?
Not so much so. I think the...
So in that sense, the grant of universal franchise was a political education?
Oh, yes. I think it's education.
Do you think it was the Constitution bred an objectionable type of politician? Or were they already there?
They were there, I think. Mm-hmm. I think did they do a lot to breed them, because it had so many members. They should never have had, instead of having 100 members, Ceylon would have been much better off if it had 30.
I think it was 60, wasn't it?
Well, in the end it became 100, didn't it?
That's in the House of Representatives.
Yes.
And you didn't think much of the administrative ability of the new ministries.
Well, that varied, you know. Mm. People like Sen and Nigel were all right. Diaz.
What other shortcomings did they have as ministries? Because you said there was some. Was there any corruption?
At what period is this you talking?
1930s.
1930. I don't know much about that, but there was some blundering. I remember advising Rock and through him Sundaram Pillai to open a cement factory at Ambalagoda. And they ran away with the idea that that would only have supplied a small quantity of what Ceylon needed, and they'd better make it at Jaffna, which would supply enough for the whole island. And that was a fundamental blunder. Because the distance of Jaffna makes it so expensive, both to take the gypsum there and to bring the cement back.
And do you think their lack of experience in administration had anything to do with their rather sanguine hopes of what they could achieve? Did they have sanguine hopes?
I think they did, yes. Mm. Like opening a large sugar factory,
where?
A large paper factory,
mm-hmm.
Both of which I understand are figures, financial figures.
And
the sugar factory, the blunder was terrific this way. Nobody, no businessman opens a sugar factory unless he has already also opened a distillery to make rum from the refuse.
I see.
You know, and they brought the rum idea in a year or two later. It was pure iron.
What do you think of Sir D.B. Jatek as a personality? And
he was a mild barrister without much practice.
Capable?
I think he had a fairly good capable.
Sir James?
But I don't think he was keen. He was a careerist.
Sir James Pearis?
Oh, he was an able man and a good man.
Mm-hmm. And Arunachalam?
Able man.
Did you know Ramanathan at all?
Oh yes, able man. Mm-hmm. Brilliant debater.
What about, do you know Charles Bathwantudave?
Oh, fine, nice man, but unfortunately found guilty of...
bribery.
Personal friend of mine.
Oh, I see.
Much loved man.
He had been in England.
Gave your mother a good present. A nice gem when we got married.
And you didn't know Dharmapala at all?
No, never knew Dharmapala.
He was supposed to be a firebrand, was he?
So rumour had it, I don't know much about it. Mm. Wasn't he one of the Hewavitanas?
Yes.
Well, Dr. Hewavitana was a very nice, pleasant, harmless person. But that was an earlier period. He killed in an accident. I married him.
Oh, yes, yes. What about the governors of the time? I mean, what sort of governor was Stanley?
Well-meaning, good man, kindly man. Not very able.
Not very able. Clifford was a bit eccentric in the 1920s, wasn't he?
Well, he went opposite.
How was it that the colonial secretaries never reported that?
That I don't know. I can't explain. I think...
What about Thompson? No, Graham Thompson.
Oh, genuine, able, particularly able and kindly man.
He was, Bose remarks that he hated Ceylon. I don't know.
He was a very sick man. He died of cancer on the way back.
Oh. And what about Stubbs? Was he capable?
He had some ability, considerable academic ability, uh-huh. And also a good boxer. But I think a little bit crusty, a little bit...
Was he...
Hidebound.
Hidebound, very red tape-ish.
Well, I wouldn't say red tape-ish, no.
And what would you say about Bose's opinion that Clifford was very vain, highly vain?
No, highly vain, yes.
And... What was your attitude to the rise of the LSSP in the 1930s?
Rise of?
The LSSP, the Marxists. This was just after you retired, I think.
I really know. I thought young Bandaranaike was a careerist.
Then?
Yes.
Yes, of course, but he was not a Marxist. I'm referring to Philip and NM and Colvin.
Oh, they were.
At that stage.
I don't know.
They're just coming.
I knew very little about them.
Well, then, you see, Stubbs called them a small local party run by young men with more money than brains.
No, I wouldn't say that's just at all.
Yes, I know.
Oh, Philip will not want any more people with brains.
And you can't remember anything about the Brace Girdle affair?
No, except that Stubbs made a blunder there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think so too. Banks and D.B. Jatek. No.
There was a commission appointed to find out who was the liar.
Oh, I see. Where was this? 1930s? When?